last 2 months for me have been hard, but they've been good. It's like Charles Dickens, The Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times and the worst of times. And I don't think there's any generation that has ever been exempt from that. I mean, you know, during the Crusades, I mean, Christians were killed. And so a couple of months of inconvenience, really, when we look at it, it was a time that we put our roots down in our relationship with Christ. I want to talk to you tonight about the two kingdoms. Revelations chapter 11 and verse 15. I love this verse. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Lord, bless the reading of Your Word. You know, when we woke up this morning, we woke up with two kingdoms at our front door ready to influence us. There was only one kingdom back in the Garden of Eden. It was the kingdom of God. I always wondered where the other kingdom of this world came from. The kingdom of this world didn't happen until Adam sinned. And the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, another kingdom came upon this earth that God never intended to come. Because although this new kingdom promises everything, it can deliver nothing. There's some similarities between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. Number one, they both want to captivate your hearts. The world, the kingdom of this world wants your hearts, because if it has your heart, it has everything. The second thing, they both want to govern your life. The kingdom of this world wants to govern you and be in charge of your life rather than Christ. The third thing, they both have a presence. There's a presence of the kingdom of God, but there's a presence of the kingdom of this world. Another similarity, they both have a king. The kingdom of God is our Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of this world is the angel of light, Lucifer, Satan, the deceiver. Another similarity is they both seek to be part of all races and nations. The kingdom of God seeks to touch every person. In fact, the Bible says this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then the end shall come. But the kingdom of the world, too, is trying to touch everybody with its deceptive ways, you see. Another similarity, they both require finances to operate and expand. Gospel's free, but spreading the word, spreading the kingdom message is not free. Just like the world, they need finances to operate, so does the kingdom. Another similarity is they both want your affection, commitment, and time. That's why Jesus said, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world," because the love of the Father doesn't manifest in the world system. The love of the Father only manifests in the kingdom of God. You see, Adam and Eve were in the kingdom. They didn't have to struggle like we struggle till they sinned. But I want you to notice that after they sinned, God took them out of that kingdom, and they were facing the kingdom of this world for the first time. And it wasn't very pleasant. He said, "Now the ground will bring up thorns. You're going to work and sweat, and you're not going to have much for that." And that's what the world does. The kingdom of this world basically is just to use you for their agenda. And doesn't everybody have an agenda today? Everybody has their cause. Well, my cause is not the world's cause. My cause is the kingdom's cause. Because as we said in Revelation, The kingdoms of this world are going to bow to the kingdom of God. Amen. Let me tell you some differences from the kingdom of God or the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of God brings righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of this world brings sin, sorrow, and death. You know, just recently we saw a young man that died needlessly. There was no reason for him to be treated that way. That's the kingdom of this world. This world is engrafted in hatred and destruction. But know this, we'll all stand before God. No one gets away with anything, folks. That's why this kingdom of this world is condemned already. But the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Right, the righteousness of Christ by living out a life that I do what is right in the sight of God. It's peace that is free of drugs or the world system. I don't need the world system for peace. I don't need to go get some marijuana. I don't need to light up and get a big pipe with water in it for peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is on the King of the kingdom. How about this one? The kingdom of God brings truth, light, and revelation. The kingdom of this world brings lies, darkness, and deception. Yeah. The kingdom of this world is based on a lie. It's based on the liar that spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. You see, you know what's always amazed me? Can I just talk freely here? What has always amazed me is the blindness, how the world system blinds people to the reality that our days here are numbered. Blinds people to the reality. Where are the dead? Someone dies, movie star, this, that. Where are they? Why is it that people do not, now listen, do not think about that? Maybe their loved one dies. They don't think about it. But shouldn't we ask ourselves, where are they? Where are these people? Are they asleep? Are they just in the casket? Or are they already sealed? It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Why is it? Because, see, the kingdom of this world, which is based on lies, deception is the cloak that causes blindness for men to examine their own hearts. And because of that, we have horrendous sins and horrendous destruction of people's lives. They're not even thinking when they go out and they're going to shoot somebody or kill somebody. They're not even thinking that when they die, they'll have to give a full account. The world system, the world system brings lies, darkness, and deception. Another difference is the kingdom of God brings order, purpose, and destiny. Think about it before you knew Jesus. There was no order in your life. Did what you want to, said what you want to, went where you want to, put stuff in your body that you wanted to. No order. Think about this. You had no purpose. I had no purpose. My purpose was to fulfill the lust of the flesh. To do whatever was right in my eyes, you see. I had no destiny. What's a destiny? My parents never talked to me about destiny. Isn't it interesting? Words like purpose and destiny, God has really covered us in the last 20 years. When I was first saved in the 70s and 80s, I heard a lot about purpose, but I didn't hear much about destiny till about the 90s. It's almost like God says, you know what, I want to refine some things in your life. That it's not you just choosing what you want to do. I have a destiny slated for you. See, the kingdom of this world brings confusion, presumption, and eternal destruction. The kingdom of God, another difference, is the kingdom of God brings salvation. The kingdom of God brings healing. The kingdom of God brings restoration. There's no marriage that cannot be restored if two people will gather at the foot of Christ. No matter what the offense, even adultery, I have seen God restore. There's nothing that cannot be restored in the kingdom of God. There is no offense, there's no hurt that cannot be restored without proper humility. But see, in the world, that's not going to happen. You hurt me in the world, man. There are so many people today offended. The Bible says, don't be offended. If you are tempted to be offended, read Isaiah 53. Look what our Savior went through. But he opened not his mouth. The worst thing you can do, and I'm talking to somebody here tonight, I don't know who you are, this is a prophetic unction right now. God's telling me to tell you that you're not moving on because you're harboring an offense. And as much as it hurts God that you'd allow that thing to stop your growth. Don't be offended. Jesus bore that offense. Forgive and let go wherever you are tonight. Okay, the kingdom of this world brings ungodliness, disease, and destruction. One of the questions I'm going to ask God, Pastor Doug, when I get to heaven is, how and where did germs get into the world? Was it the effect of sin on the world that began to work into the DNA, it began to work into different factors of the world and produce death? Are germs basically the kind of like the pollen of destruction that came from the original sin? And of course I'm going to ask him where flies came from. The kingdom of this world brings ungodliness, disease, complete destruction. I like what someone said. They said, God forbid if we should ever close the churches again. We are the only institution on this earth that's able to come against the gates of hell. And you know, the whole world being shut down, God says this in Haggai. He says, the gold is mine, the silver is mine. He says, I'm going to shake all nations that the precious things may come forth. And then he makes this statement, the glory of the latter house will be greater of the former. What is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Hebrews 1:3, Jesus is the exact representation of Christ, of the glory of God. So Haggai says, you know what? There's going to be a greater glory than just this temple. It's going to be Christ. And he's going to come, and he's going to build his kingdom. Oh, I love the book of Daniel. We'll have to do a study on the book of Daniel. He said, I saw a stone that was cut out without hands that went, and it destroyed all the other kingdoms. Talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to get to this in Matthew 13, verse 34. I love this, I love this, I love this. Turn to somebody and say, I love this. Now, don't high-five them or anything, you know, just kind of a fake thing, whatever. Matthew 13, 24. He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. That's the whole message there. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said unto him, then do what you want. Excuse me, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Begin to think about this. Why did he leave the weeds in the field with the wheat? This is what I think. We were all weeds. I said, we were all weeds. And God leaves the wheat in the weeds because he's believing that the wheat can influence some weeds because they can be changed in a twinkling of an eye into wheat. And there's something about these weeds, if you research, they look exactly like wheat until the harvest. And at harvest, the weeds are straight up like that, but the wheat is bent over like that, bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ. The weeds are still arrogant, have never asked him enter their life. You and I are in a field with weeds. Wherever store you go to, at work, gas station, and sometimes we are overwhelmed by the sight of weeds. I just can't understand how somebody could do that. I can't understand. Well, he told us right here, I'm leaving you in the field. You're going to stay there in that field, but not forever. What is our responsibility? Grow. Just like the weeds are growing in wickedness, they are growing in evil. Men's hearts are getting worse. He says, you grow in that field. You get the nutrients you need. You get under an anointing. You get under a covering of a local pastor. You grow in the word. Grow in character. Grow in kindness. Grow in loyalty. Grow in wisdom. Grow because the weeds are growing. But God says you can grow too. And you can understand, I'll give you grace in that field. I'm not going to take you out of this world. Jesus said that in John 17. I pray you don't take them out of the world, out of the field, Father. But I pray this, that they may be one. That they may have no divisions among them. Paul came to the Corinthian church and said, man, you guys can prophesy. You have all the gifts of the Spirit. But I'd really like to talk to you as mature, but I can't. He says, the reason, because there's divisions among you. One says, I'm a Paul, I'm this, I'm near. Okay, Paul said, listen, you're not grown up yet. And I think during these 2 months, for me, God has dug deep to say, Bill, I want you to grow up in these areas. Yes, sir. I'm not 30 anymore. I'm not 20 anymore. I'm 60-some. Turn to somebody and say, you got to grow. Don't get so upset over the prosperity of the wicked, David said. The psalmist says, you know what? I was overwhelmed. And he said, I even went to church and I was upset. I didn't even understand. I didn't even want to praise God because I couldn't believe the prosperity of the wicked. But once I got inside, I began to see, unless the wicked get turned into wheat, their end is destruction. An enemy has done this, Jesus said. Well, we know who the enemy is. You see, that's why at times, you know, you have co-workers. They don't believe in God. They're waiting for Friday night to go to party. They're going out Friday night to the disco bars, if they're in existence. They talk about ugly things. They talk about dirty things, even women and men. They both, just everything is wrong. Everything is just so, and it kind of grieves you. See, it's like Lot, when he was in Sodom, it says his righteous soul vexed him every day by being in that field. Now, it's one thing to be in the field, a sphere God's given us, and it's another thing to go hang around weeds you ought not to be hanging around. Now, I can't help it if I go to the store or whatever, and there's weeds and people cussing, and people just don't even want to look, talk to me. What? Okay, got it. But it's another thing if I deliberately go somewhere where I know they hate me. And I've learned this a bit. I've learned this in my few years on this earth. I don't go where I'm tolerated. I go where I'm celebrated. And if there's only one person on this earth that celebrates me, that's where I'll be. But I refuse to be tolerated. Refuse it. Look at Luke chapter 17 as I begin to wind down. What does that mean, Pastor? I don't know. It felt good. It's better than saying I'm closing 100 times. Luke 17, 21. I want to give you the secret here of the kingdom. How many want the secret of the kingdom of God? So simple, but we miss it. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. I love going to the conventions. I love going to men's meetings. I love going to hear this person. But the reality is, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to come back and allow the kingdom to work. Say I go and I hear a word about anger. Oh, it's God, the best teaching, Joyce Meyer, whoever on anger. Yes. Or Jensen Franklin, whoever you like. Oh, it was wonderful, wasn't it? And I come back, and I come to in the house, and the first thing I say, Deb, where's my slippers and bathrobe? Hello? The man's home. The king is, what are you doing? Huh? All that money and hoopla, whoo, hallelujah. That thing's got to translate inside. I got quiet. He said, the kingdom is in you. Not that we should be blessed. We should have people minister to us. I'm not saying that. But I've prophesied over so many people, decades, some doing better, some worse, some gone forward, some you don't see them, some. I'm like, God, it doesn't come down to my prophecy. It comes down how much of the kingdom is really moving in my life. Or how much of the world system is governing me. He said, it's not over here. It's not over there. It's in here. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. My last scripture. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Daniel, beloved of God. The only place in the Bible twice where it says Daniel had an excellent spirit. I've met a lot of folks over the years, go to church, but their spirit ain't excellent. But I'm not their judge. I'm saying, how many want an excellent spirit? I just want to be excellent. Excellent spirit. And you know, you just, there's something about people want to be with you. They can sense in you the Christ. They can sense that you've worked through things. You know, Paul said, work out your own salvation, you see. The kingdom of God takes work. Oh, not work to be saved. I don't earn it. But it does take a cooperation with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Because the kingdom of God is within us. He said, the Ancient of Days came. All people, nations, languages should serve him. And his dominion is everlasting. Dominion, we get the word dominate, in charge. There's going to be a lot of folks on that day shocked when Jesus breaks through the clouds, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's not coming as the weary one from Galilee, as the healer. He's not coming to make water into wine. He's coming as a king. We don't really understand that here, but if you lived in Britain, you would understand it. If you lived in Australia, if you lived in the Bahamas, we'd understand about what a king is and a kingdom. And the king usually, or queen, I'm just going to use king tonight, will send an ambassador to another nation to represent him. And when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, he was the ambassador to come and represent the kingdom. First of all, Christ came, and then he sent his Spirit as an ambassador. So the Holy Spirit, sure, he's working to get people saved, but it's not just to get people saved. It's to get people saved, live a sanctified life, and begin to have a kingdom mentality. What is the kingdom mentality if you boil it all down? It's to be Christ-like. You can put some music on. It's to be a servant. There's always somebody to serve. I start by serving my wife in my home. I will not ignore my marriage or my home for the church or for the ministry. Carpet needs cleaning, I clean it. Dishwasher needs emptying, I empty it. What do you need, honey? You can ask her. I tell them the truth. Because I won't do it. I won't be one thing, one place, and one thing another. I refuse to be. I will not be a hypocrite. Perfect? No. There's no perfect. No perfect preachers, pastors, elders, deacons. There's nobody perfect but Christ. I want to make sure that I'm not focusing so much on the weeds. After you've been alive a while, you can pretty much see weeds and cracks in people. Some of you, like me, are very analytical. I love to analyze. But that can be to my default. Because God never called me to analyze everybody. And so I reserve that to counseling if the Holy Spirit wants me to help them. See, criticism is simply an overdrive of analyzing things I should not be analyzing. Ever get around somebody and they just like, you just know they're kind of like analyzing you? Huh? I thought this was about love. You want to look for cracks? Sure. But there's three fingers pointing back. You know? And if we're ever going to move into something beyond normal churchianity, it's going to take a people with a kingdom mentality, not just a church mentality. That we're all in this field with weeds. And to the extent you will allow me to help you grow will only be that extent. God doesn't make mistakes. He put you here. He knows what you need. Oh, you need vitamins and other supplements. I know that. And I pray we can shift into another level of being a family here. Yeah. Families disagree. Especially if you're Italian. I'm German. We're set. My family's very, had to be their way. But then we come together for dinner and have fun and forget about it. See, if we had a little bit of that mentality, there wouldn't be hurt. Because we don't agree on everything. Some of you probably know I've worn this shirt since I've been here. I love it. I love it. I wish I could get it in different color. It just fits me right. You probably, pastor's wearing that again. So what I did is I put one shirt on. I didn't like it. So I changed and I tried to sneak out before. You know, ladies are more into style and stuff. Hey, I'm a good old Catholic boy. We wore a uniform to school. That's how I am, man. I wear the same thing. You know, it's not because I don't like to change. Well, I don't like to change. It's not because I don't want clean clothes, but to me, it doesn't mean that much. But I do change for her. I'll say it again. I change for her. What are you and I willing to change for the kingdom? What are we willing to change so that when visitors come in and those that are hurting, they find an atmosphere that's like, wow, God is here. You got people leaving churches that have been hurt, misused. They want a place of peace and love. Kingdom, that we respect each other, honor each other. The kingdom of God is within us, Rock Church of Petersburg. We've been through 2 months of adjustment, but I don't know about you, I'm ready to shift the gear and get this work finished for Christ. One thing I've been praying lately, and I'm going to close. Lord, my prayer is to finish your work that's in my family, your work that's in the kingdom, and then let me go to my reward. I'm not interested in anything else. The world's problems are yours. The weeds will not discourage me. Because I know the end. How do you know, and I'm going to stop with this, how do you know that you've been growing in Christ? Is it the wealth of scripture knowledge? It's, yeah. But I'm going to say what I said at the beginning. The way they know the difference at harvest time between the weeds and the wheat is the weeds are still straight up. And the wheat is bowing. Check your humility. You're not right all the time. I'm not either. I don't have to defend myself. And if you can see in yourself, my goodness, 3 years ago, if someone had said that, I would have got out of sorts. My goodness, I can't believe that I'm being selfless like this. I can't believe how I used to pray these prayers and just basically tell God how to run the ship. Now I come before God like, God, I need your mercy. I need your grace. Don't let me go unbroken. Don't let me lead me in a plain path. When you pray like that, that shows you're bowing to the King of the kingdom and you're preparing when he blows the trumpet to be ready. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Can we stand up tonight? Give God a shout. You can do that even with your mask on. Give Him a clap. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight that even though we're in the field with weeds, some of those weeds are going to turn to You. And even though there's weeds next to us, we